We're going to talk about Samuel today. I really enjoy this story because it's a cool story that, you know, if you have to go back even further, go back to Hannah. You know, Hannah was a woman who was barren, and she prayed to God for a child and prayed and prayed and prayed and didn't get a child. And finally, she asked the priest to pray for her, and he did. And she had a child, this little boy Samuel, and she took care of him and nursed him and weaned him. And whenever he was old enough, she brought him to the temple to live at the temple to work with Eli. She had promised God that if he gave her a child, that she would dedicate him back to God. And that's exactly what she did. And you kind of drop that story usually right about there. But we're kind of picking up the story a little later on because Eli now is a young man. I don't know age-wise. He's about a fifth grader. How old are fifth graders? 11. Somewhere around 11? Okay. Around 11 years old. He's around a fifth grader, somewhere in that age bracket. So, you know, he's a young man. He's not a teenager yet. He's a tweenager. And he's doing his very best to live with Eli and learn from him. And so you can kind of imagine that here's this young man living with the high priest of God in his home, trying to learn how to be a priest and learn from God's chosen priest. And he's doing this the best that he can. And little Samuel, he came to work here with the temple. Problem was, Eli wasn't really a very good priest. The reality is, his family was out of control. His sons were like doing all kinds of crazy things in the temple. His heart really had not turned toward God. Had kind of turned away from God. And there's no discipline in his family. When his sons and his children have done things, he's kind of let them get away with it. He hasn't been a very good leader of the nation of Israel spiritually, which was his calling. And he basically was sinning against God. Now, Samuel, little boy, he doesn't know this. All he knows is Samuel's the priest of God, and I'm going to follow him, and he's a good guy, and he's a great guy, and I'll do whatever he says. One night, this little fifth grader went to bed. He lived there in the temple area with Samuel, his family. And in the middle of the night, he heard, Shemuel. Shemuel, that's the way you pronounce Samuel's name. And he said, who is it? And so he jumped up and thought maybe the high priest was calling him for some purpose. So he ran over there and got to the high priest's bedroom and came in and he said, you know, what is it you want of me? Did you call me? What do you need? And the high priest, of course, is, you know, doing the old eye roll and trying to wake up. He goes, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So Samuel, he said, okay, I must have had a dream or something, went back to bed. He's back in bed for very long. Shemuel, who is that? I must be the high priest. He runs back down to the high priest's bedroom. You called me. What is it you need? What do you want? High priest was just getting back to sleep. He's like, I don't want you. I didn't call you. What's wrong with you? Go back to bed. Okay, I'll go back to bed. Thought I was helping. Not helping. Okay. I'll go back to bed. Sure enough again. Shemuel. He goes, okay, who is it? Nobody. He runs over to the high priest. He's kind of scared to stick his head in, but he kind of sticks his head in. He says, did you need anything? No. Go to bed. Goes to sleep. Shemuel. He said, I know this is going to end badly. And he walked over to the high priest's room. And he said, are you sure you didn't call me again? And the old high priest, finally, light bulb goes on. Maybe God's calling Shemuel. He said this to the young boy. He said, if you hear your name again, stop. Tell God you want to hear from him. Tell him your servant is listening. Samuel went back to bed. I'm going to read from verse 10. The Lord came and stood there calling as all the other times, Shemuel, Shemuel. And Samuel said, this little boy, incredibly dangerous prayer, fifth grader, 11, 12 years old, says, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, what's really important about this event is not that God was speaking to Samuel. It's what God had to say to Samuel. We're going to come to in just a little bit. Let's play a little Bible trivia. For 500 points and an extra large room in your mansion in heaven, big room, how many times in the Bible did God speak and give an assignment, and that assignment was easy to fulfill? What was the answer?
None.
Correct. Ding, 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 ding. You get extra plumbing or something, I don't know, in your mansion. None. God gave assignments to people, and no one said, oh, that's easy. I can do that. I get on it right away. There was Noah. Noah, build an ark. What's an ark? It's a boat. It's about the size of a football field and a half. What's a football field? I want you to go and round up all the male and female of all the species over all the world. And whenever I make it rain, there's going to be a flood. What's rain? What's flood? Nobody at any point did Noah say, this is going to be easy. Angel appeared to a teenage girl named Mary. Mary, you're going to give birth to a son even though you're a virgin, and the son will be the Son of God. Every time God would speak and give somebody an assignment, he would challenge them. He would stretch them, and it was never easy to hear. And if you have the faith, the courage to speak, to pray, speak to me, Lord, God will speak to you, but you may regret it. Samuel said, speak, God, I'm listening. And unfortunately, what God said to Samuel wasn't good. He said, now that I've got your attention, I want you to know that I'm not going to pour out my blessings on Israel. God didn't say, hey, Samuel, you know that cute girl in youth group? You're going to marry her, and you're going to have two children and a dog and live happily ever after. He didn't say that. What he said was, Eli has been sinning against me. What he's doing isn't right. He's turned his heart on the people, and he's turned his people's heart away from me. Therefore, I'm going to judge his household and all of Israel. And I'm trusting you, little boy, to carry this message. What a weight on this young boy to tell the person he's supposed to be studying under, you've blown it, you failed. God is going to come down you on like a ton of bricks, and he's going to come across our nation as well. God told that young boy, I can make this right, but it's your burden to carry the message. That's a very dangerous prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let me be crystal clear this morning. You do not pray this prayer, speak, Lord, I'm listening, unless you really want to hear from God. You really don't want to pray that prayer unless you're really looking for God to speak into your life some way. And I wonder, for some people, if God ever has said, enough, I'm tired of you telling me all the things you need. How about you just stop and listen? Because sometimes I think God must get really tired of hearing us over and over and over asking for things and asking for things and asking for things and asking for things. But we never actually stop and listen to what he has to say to us. You know, God loves us. He wants to guide us. He wants to communicate to us. He has something to say. The question is, are we listening? Are we too busy talking and asking rather than listening? I'm going to make this as simple as I possibly can this morning. There are three spiritual thoughts that I want to share with you in this message. And we can go through these three and you'll catch them really easy. Here's the first one. Be still. Being still is against the trajectory of our culture. Everything is done at the speed of light in our culture. We've got to go from this, we've got to go from this, we've got to go to this, we've got to go to this, we've got to go to this. And we're just constantly busy. We look at our schedules, we've got to put more things in our schedule. And then I've got our, now we have our phones on our cars so our cars can remind us and tell us your next appointment is at so-and-so. And you just want to say, I don't want to go. Turn it off. Because we have so many things going on in our lives. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, be frantic and squeeze a little time in for God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, be busy and exhausted and know that I'm God. Nowhere does it say, seek me on the go and you will experience me. Nowhere. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. We're to stop. We're to pause. Now let me ask you, when was the last time, you don't have to put your hands up, okay? When was the last time you binged watched Netflix maybe for an hour? Or Disney Plus? When was the last time you scrolled on the web and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled, the next time you looked, a couple hours had passed? When was the last time you played games, maybe on your phone for an hour or a day? Now, when was the last time you paused, shut everything down, spent an hour or so enjoying the presence of God? I think I would dare to say it has been a long time or ever. Just be still and know I am God. Jesus said this about prayer, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Instead, Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to yourself, Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's a dangerous prayer, speak Lord. So some of you might be asking, well, am I going to hear an audible voice from heaven when I pray this prayer? Am I going to hear James Earl Jones speak to me? Roger. Let me say that there is nothing beyond God's ability, okay? I'm not going to limit God. But that is not what God does today in today's millennium to speak to us. God can speak to us through his Holy Spirit. I bet there are people in this room who can tell you that God just kind of affirmed something to you. God led you in a way in which your spirit just kind of knew. God, the Holy Spirit was in you, and you just felt like, I think this is the right thing to do. I need to move this direction. I need to be here. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. God is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. That certainly comes. But God can speak to us through a lot of different ways. God isn't going to come down out of the sky and said, Fred, you need to lose your job. Find another one. Your boss is a jerk. That's not going to happen. I said many times, I wish God had email or texting or something so I could, you know I could have a tangible response sometimes. But we have, of course, prayer that we could talk to God, and we want to talk to God, and we're waiting for God to respond. And there's all kinds of ways. Here are some of the ways. God's word is living and active, and we can be told by God, speak to God, God speak to us through his word. It's his primary way of speaking to us, through his word. I had a Sunday school teacher. Linda and I had a Sunday school teacher, and she used to get our class together at the beginning, and we're all excited and talking, and she's like, how many of you prayed this week? And we go, oh, yeah, me. I prayed for before I went to bed. I prayed for my meal. I prayed. And then she'd say, how many of you read your Bible this week? We'd look at the top of our shoes. And then she'd say this to us. You remember her saying this, don't you? How does it feel to talk to yourself? You see, if we prayed to God, but we haven't allowed God to speak to us through his word, we're having a conversation with ourselves. God's primary means of speaking to us is through his word. God also speaks to us through his people. Maybe you have a godly friend who's sharing counsel with you and sharing from God's word what the truth is and trying to help you and encourage you. God sometimes can speak to you through a godly person. God might speak to you through a song. Do you realize that David, a man after God's own heart, most of the psalms we have are actually songs that David was singing, David had written. And so sometimes I believe songs can speak to us. I've many times had a question in my heart, been troubled about something, flipped on the radio, and there's a song that just ministered to me, that just spoke to my heart. I believe God can use music sometimes to speak his word to us. God can speak to you through a spouse. I might be stressed out about something. I might be fretting about something. And Linda will say, well, God's word says not to worry. And it's really hard to argue with your spouse when she's quoting scripture. You want to argue, but yet you can't. God can speak to you through your circumstances. You're praying about a situation, God opens the door. You're praying about a situation, God slams the door. But I will say about this, you have to be very careful. You can't read God's circumstance into everything that happens in your life, because good old mankind has free will, and we sometimes connect the praying and the circumstances, but sometimes you can see God's hand involved. That recently happened to Linda and I. We're off on Friday and Saturday together. We try to keep those days so we do have time for each other. We've been trying to go to a movie. It's hard to find a movie worth seeing, truthfully. But we had gone to a movie a couple weeks ago, and Linda had to go to the restroom afterwards. So I'm standing out in the walkway. Two people are walking by, and Linda finally comes out, and we start to leave, and somebody sticks their hand out. And I find it's one of the kids when we first started OCC who's now grown and introduced his daughter to us. And it was great. He had moved away for a while. We lost track of him and his family. His family is somewhere else here in Ocala. And we talked for a little bit and visited. But one of the first questions I ask, first question I ask anybody I haven't seen after a long time, where do you worship? Now, I don't ask them that to embarrass them. I ask that because I believe everyone who is a Christian, a believer, should have a place where they're worshiping. So it's a natural question to ask. Where are you worshiping? It's not to criticize. It's not to, you know, tell them, quit going there, start coming to our church. It's just to make sure they're getting spiritually fed somewhere. And about 90% of the time when I ask that question, somebody will say what he said, which was, I'm not going anywhere. And we invited him to church. We invited him to come see our new building. And a lot of people he knew would be there, and we'd love to have him come. And he said, I'll really think about it. I don't get many Sundays off, but I'll think about it. And it's interesting that his parents came to our dedication. And they came to Linda, and I made a point to thank us for speaking to him, to encouraging him to come to church, because they've been praying about that. So see, there was a prayer that was answered and seeds planted for the future, all involved in that prayer. God speaking through other people. And God worked in a great way in that way. Sometimes God speaks to us through his spirit. I just kind of touched on it a minute ago. And we ask God to guide us, and he'll do that. And sometimes it's just the spirit that resides in the heart. It's going to be in the form of prompting. And you may wonder, well, how do I know it's from God and not from Satan? I've had that question many times. If God is prompting you to do something generous, if God is prompting you to do something kind, he's all prompting you to do something compassionate, I can guarantee you it's not from Satan. So it's a real easy way to find that out. If you're having to wrestle and say, well, I wonder where this prompting's coming from. Just ask yourself these questions. Is this positive? Is this encouraging? Is this uplifting? Is this ministering to somebody else? If it is, then it's not from God. Let me ask you another one. Sometimes I've been asking, God, who do you want me to pray for? I take time out of every day and sit and spend time in prayer. Sometimes in my office, sometimes at home, and just spend time in prayer. I turn my phone off, turn everything else off, and I just pray. It's amazing when I pray that prayer, God, who do you want me to pray for? God will bring people to mind. God will put people in my thoughts that I hadn't thought about for a while, and I'll stop and pray for them. And I believe that's the Lord's prompting. I think the Lord's prompting me to lift them up. Sometimes I'll write them a note and say, hey, I prayed for you today. Just wanted you to know we were thinking about you. And I drop it into the mail. And it's happened to more people. It's probably happened to some people in this room that you've gotten one of those kind of cards, because that happens to me a lot. Here's a second thing. Be willing. First is be still. Second, be willing. Be willing to go where God wants you to go. You know, we often come to God with our wish list. We call it our prayer list, but it's really our wish list. And we pray to God, and we tell him how we think he should answer these prayers. You know, God, if I were you, I'd do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to fix this. And Instead, we ought to be doing is coming to God and saying, what do you want me to do? You know, you're the creation. He is the creator. You are the one who has been redeemed. He is the redeemer. The way it works is we should come to our Heavenly Father and saying, what can we do? What do you need? You know, I shared with you a couple weeks ago, I'm kind of struggling with wanting to know if I'm enough for this church as I get older. You know, I started when I was 52, started this church. And that I'm not 52, nor do I feel like 52 anymore. And the question I have is, do I have enough steam in the engine to be able to lead a church, to grow a church? And that's my prayer. And I trust that God knows the answer. God knows me. And I'm just leaning upon God's wisdom in this. And he certainly hasn't told me anything any different. But I just want you to know, putting things in God's hands means sometimes God's going to do what you do not want. See, we have this idea. We pray about it. We're just waiting for God to do what we want. And sometimes God says, no. My father had a great saying. No is a complete sentence. I hated that. No is a complete sentence. He'd say no, and I'm just like looking at him. I'm like, I'm done. No is a complete sentence. Sometimes we forget that God's kind of done that to us. Sometimes God has said, no, I don't want to do that. I have a better plan. Why don't you just turn it over to me and let me handle it? But we don't pray that prayer too often. Instead, we want to give him ideas and suggestions. You know, this building's a wonderful tool, but we want to be praying, God, how can we use this building? We have a great congregation. They're very generous. They're very loving. God, how can this congregation reach into this community? I've been seeing people who are struggling. And my heart goes out to them because they are lost. Maybe it's time for us to start praying, God, I don't want to just come to church. I want to be the church. I don't want Sunday to be a place I have to go to, an appointment that I need to keep. God, I need to be the church. God, how can I bless others? You've blessed me. How can I bless other people? And walk around for a change, looking at ways you can bless other people than waiting for God to bless you. Perhaps God direct you to need somebody who needs some encouragement. Maybe God has put you in the role of a Barnabas, and you need to encourage somebody. Sometimes it's amazing how much the smallest few words can mean to somebody. Just a few words to say, oh, you look very nice today. Oh, hey, yeah, it's good to talk to you. We need to get together and talk more often. Or I've really enjoyed this. Let's visit again. But some of the simple things sometimes encourage people, and we just take it for granted. Be willing to do what God puts on our heart. We're to be still, we're to be willing, and the last is to be ready. To be ready. It's incredibly important to be ready. When God speaks, we need to be ready to do it. When think about little Samuel, this young boy who was, this little boy who's in fifth grade, 11 or 12 years old, he has to speak to this man of God and tell him, you're not honoring God. Think about a kid speaking to an authority figure. That was Samuel. And when we pray, we need to speak, Lord, I'm listening. It's a dangerous prayer, but you need to be ready whenever you pray that prayer because God will respond. God will speak to you in some of the many ways I've outlined this morning. And how many times I wonder God has spoken to us and we've ignored it because we've got our own mindset on what we want to do. Or maybe he's wanting you to speak to somebody in your group. Maybe he's wanting you to get faithful and to share with people. Little things. It doesn't have to be big. Maybe you're involved with a group and maybe your opportunity is to you to have the prayer for the group. You would never volunteer. You know, I meet with a group of men twice a month. There's about 14 of us, 12, 14 of us, and they're a great group of guys. And some of them, I don't have to do is say, would you have a prayer for us? They said, sure, they pray. And there's some guys, I think they would actually pass out if I asked them that because they don't pray in public. I wonder if some of you are like that. You don't pray in public. It's like you talk to God, but you would just have a heart attack if somebody asked you to pray in public. What if God is putting it on your heart to speak a prayer publicly, maybe at work, maybe the next meeting, maybe the next place you're with? Maybe God's speaking to you about changing careers. You know, you hate your job every day. Maybe there's another job that God says, hey, you'd love this if you just trust me. I could lead you to it. Or maybe it's to speak to your boss about your faith. You think, oh, I can't talk to him about that. Yeah, but you can say, hey, there's a reason why I live the life I live is because of the faith I have. And share with your boss. Tell him, let him know. You're not telling him you're not going to work. You're not telling him anything. You're just saying, hey, this is where my faith is. This is who I am. I just want you to know me a little better as an employee. Maybe speak out boldly on social media. You know, I'm tired of pictures of cats, let me tell you. If alien life ever came to Earth and all they saw was social media, they would think we are complete idiots. The stuff we put on social media. You know, cats playing the piano and cats doing this and cats doing that. And it's like, come on, give me a break. What about if you actually posted something significant, something spiritual on your social media? Maybe post a scripture. Say, this scripture has meant a lot to me, and I'm going to post it and share it with you. You might find people who are commenting on it and posting on it and liking it, saying like, well, I didn't know that all those people were out there that really enjoyed that scripture or shared my faith or shared a faith. Maybe you need to go to somebody whom you need to forgive, and you need to forgive them. Let me be absolutely clear. They're not sorry. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They're the same people they were. But you need to forgive them because forgiveness benefits you, not them. Two weeks ago, I challenged you to pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. I challenged you to pray that prayer for God to look in your heart and make you aware of things in your life you need to change. Last week I prayed, break me. God requires you to be broken to be used of God. And when we're broken, that's when we can lean upon God heavily and not ourselves. And today our prayer was, speak, for your servant is listening, from 1 Samuel 3:10. It's a dangerous prayer. You need to be willing, be ready, be still, and listen. Because God will speak to you, and maybe he already has. Maybe it's time you listened, because he has a great message to tell you. And he loves you. And like a heavenly father, today we celebrate mothers. A heavenly parent wants to share their love with you. Maybe it's time to listen. Let's pray. Father God, how you must be frustrated with us sometimes. How sometimes you must be so discouraged by we're always asking for and we're always asking and asking and asking. But we never seem to pause to listen to what you have to say. How it must be frustrating that you would love to share your love and your wisdom with us, to give us examples of your love, to speak into our lives in ways that we would love to hear and love to know. But we're too busy and so self-consumed that we don't take time to listen. Father, today we do ask, please listen. Please tell me. Let me know, Father, what I can do to be who you want me to be. Today is the day, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.